Fuck, Nick, what's the opener?
Fuck, it's 6:32.
Welcome to J-Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can listen live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I am here with these two crazy mofos that I love dearly, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
He let us join this week.
Yeah, I sort of kind of took that on myself last week, but, you know, it was
just like, so, hey, welcome you all to The Dish. And we're like, oh, fuck her.
Well, you know,
what I was like, I was in food coma, but now we're recording and I'm ready. And I'm here now.
Oh, of course
I'm back.
He's on fire.
It was really funny, though, last week. We were a hot mess last week getting into the new studio and everything. And Tom was just like, da 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 da, The Dish. And me and Chris were just like,
what happened? Wait, did I miss it?
This bitch. We've been doing something for 79 weeks.
Can I fucking reclaim my time? Like, that's our line.
But, you know, I'm finally getting things organized a bit, and you
we
know,
found the Gay Talk dictionary.
We did, and you know, the studio's gonna come along just lovely once we get everything that we want in here. And
I love that there's a toilet in here. Like, I have to shit so bad right now.
Did you really have to take it there, though?
Yeah, it's like, did you really have to say that?
Well,
on
I just looked over and I'm like, oh right, toilet.
Well, yeah, we do. So I bought, Lord have mercy, these two. So I bought a ranch. And the ranch has a finished basement or lower level. And so we are building the studio.
Yeah.
We're in the process of building the studio, making everything ready here. And it also has a bathroom, which is quite amazing.
I'm excited to get the lighting changed.
Yeah.
That's so bright right there.
Not look good in fluorescent light. We all know I don't look good generally, but in fluorescent light, it's like, what the fuck?
But yeah. She did look good this
weekend. Hi, Debbie!
Did look good this weekend because she got a rental.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I sat her on this side and I didn't flip the table around and put the tarp over there and yada yada because I didn't want you near that light.
Anywhere
near
it. You're so sweet.
I try.
You're so kind.
Considerate. Yes.
I was trying to be. So it's been an amazing week. A lot of things happened this week. Some were very good, some were not. But I want to talk about your weekend getaway. My boys went away.
We did.
And what did you do?
So, well, I went away for the entire weekend. I left on Friday. Uh-huh. I rented myself a fun little car.
Still in my driveway.
Mm-hmm. It's a fucking Mustang.
Yeah, it's a Mustang convertible. And my God, I'm burnt, but I had a blast. But we went to Tanglewood to see Melissa Etheridge.
Yes.
Oh my God! How was she?
She was amazing.
She can fucking rock. It was also John Williams' music. So the first set was John Williams.
Harry Potter and stuff. That was really great.
So I do have to give a shout out to our friend Angie over on Twitter, who was able to get some backstage passes so you boys can get to meet Melissa.
Yeah. So, but what was even beyond amazing was, so it was me, Chris, but there was a group of us. You know, Chris brought his. I know we're not supposed to say it on air, his significant other, and then I had a bunch of friends with me, so there were six of us total, and they were like, yeah, no, that's fine, six, that's great, because originally I was like, okay, well, it's just me and Chris really want to meet her, but there will be six of us if that's possible, and they're like, yeah, no problem. And all six of us got to meet her, and she was lovely. We took photos. And again, when we were taking those photos, so they took live-action photos, and then, of course, the group shots, and I didn't realize how extra I am.
Oh, yeah.
Honey.
Oh, she's out there.
You're out there. You're like in fucking Saturn when it comes to extra.
There's literally one picture of Melissa and I are holding each other. We're just like have our arms around each other. And Trish is like flailing. And Melissa's fucking eyes
are like
bug-eyed, wide open. I don't remember what the moment was, but I'm like, what the fuck were you saying?
We were just talking about the podcast and she was, you know, like, you guys are doing great work. Keep it up. And we were just having a conversation. And I don't know what I was saying because it was a very simple conversation, but I was animated as fuck.
I know. He's like,
I mean, let me just give you a visual. So we know we've been debating for several years now whether Pluto is a planet or not, right? So you want to know how extra this bitch is? there's a 10th planet somewhere. That's how extra.
And it's Trish.
And that's right. We're going to call it Planet Trisha.
Planet Trisha. I like that.
Yeah, because...
And I don't even know what extra means, but she's that.
Yeah.
It just means Trish.
It just means Trish.
Merriam-Webster.
Yeah.
So you guys went to see Melissa. You got an opportunity to meet and talk to her.
Yeah.
What was it that she said to you when you announced that you were Nick?
So the tour manager was like, you know, there was, you know, a couple people back there that were meeting her, and then it was my group's turn. He was like, okay, Nicholas. And I walked up and I was like, hi, I'm Nick. She's like, Gay Talk!
Yeah. That's exactly how, but even prior to that, there were like chair. Oh, there was a huge fucking buffet.
Yes.
None of us took advantage of that.
No.
I'm still kind of disappointed about that. One guy ate from it, but there were these like five old people, like elderly people sitting down in chairs, and we were just talking, and they were dying laughing from us. And I could just see this, like, one old woman, like, these homosexuals are delightful. Like, that's exactly all I was picturing. We're just making them fucking crack up.
You should have turned around and said, you should listen to our show, Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast.
I don't think their fucking hearts could handle it.
Oh, no. I'm sure. Honey, if they could handle seeing you in person, they could handle
that's
us behind
point.
The radio.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's true.
But
we had a great time. It was raining, which kind of sucked.
It was
raining.
It was fucking pouring.
I know.
We were so soggy.
So I guess there was a lot of people that didn't show up. I mean, the lawn was
empty.
But we bought a pop-up tent. We were like, we're doing it. We showed up. We had wine, cheese, all the stuff. We had a good time.
We didn't eat any of it. I never sat down once.
They posted videos on Snapchat, I think it was.
And Instagram.
And you can tell they were lit.
No, we weren't too bad. We weren't too bad after the concert.
I was good. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Chris was kind of lit.
No.
No.
Actually, the exact opposite. I had to take my boyfriend's keys and be like, so you're not driving.
But it was funny. He just like threw the keys at you. He was like, fine.
He didn't argue at all. Just tossed them up in the air.
Uh-huh. I'm so jelly, though. I wanted to be there. And, you know, I
had
to work.
We were sad that you weren't there.
But I will tell you, though.
She asked about you.
Oh, Melissa, if you're listening, I love you, baby. Seriously, your music just gives me life.
And she can fucking rock.
Yeah, my God.
Like, that girl. Like, I was a little disappointed we didn't hear Pulse, but she fucking rocked out.
She is incredible. The most important thing I like about Melissa Etheridge is the fact that she's very eclectic when it comes to her music choices. So obviously she's got her hits and she'll play a lot of those when she goes on tour and sing. But she also likes to cover other types of music that you typically would not hear her do.
Mm.
And when you say she rocks out, she rocks out. She loves the blues. She loves doing rock. She loves doing her typical, you know, Melissa, but she's not afraid of a ballad either.
And she actually sang the lullaby that when we had her on our show for the second time, when I'm nudging, as we're like talking to her, I'm nudging Tom like, get her to sing.
Yeah.
And she sang this lullaby for our listeners. You know, you heard it. She sang the full piece.
Oh.
And it was and it was her solo. She was sitting in front of the Boston Pops who were accompanying her, and it was beautiful. But they just sat back and she did it solo. It was her on the guitar, and she sang that lullaby, and it was so moving
beautiful.
And beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
Another really fun thing about this weekend. Well, two things real quick. First of all, I need to give a shout out to Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
Hi, Rusty.
I feel a little bit bad, but I'm going to read you our Facebook interaction because he's from the Berkshires. And his comment on one of my posts was 20 minutes away and you couldn't tell me. And I was like, super busy, as I always say. And then he posted a GIF and it was just like, sure. And I was like, we're still in the area, though. Like, if you want to meet up. And he was like, I went up to North Country to see my uncle. You don't like me anyway. My response to Rusty was, Rusty, valid. Now, I want to clarify, Rusty, I'm not doing this right. I
Words
don't dislike
hard.
You at all. And I wish we could have met up.
Right, but he just doesn't like you.
But we were actually super busy.
We were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were busy meeting Melissa Etheridge.
Exactly.
But anyway.
And like, my friend's family, we all went out to dinner.
Oh my God.
And blah, blah, blah.
I love them so much. I was like, I want to be friends with them. Like, such a good time.
Yep.
So you guys remember the live episode that we did at 168 York Street Cafe, right?
Yeah.
And you know that we had a super fan come down from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And so he reached out to me, and he wants to come out to our live episode that we're having on September 25th. again to come see us. This is super nice. I mean, really, yeah. It's amazing that people take the time out of their lives to come in and watch us do a live show. So to our listeners, if you're in our area, if you're in the New Haven, Hartford, New York, even Massachusetts, Buffalo, yeah. And you want to come down and see the show, we are going to be having another one on September 25th, which is a Monday at Partners Cafe, which is located at 365 Crown Street in New Haven, Connecticut.
And we haven't confirmed, but we're working on a guest to join us for that episode.
We're still waiting to hear, yep. But hopefully we'll have a guest. If not, it'll just be the three
yep.
of us.
Yep. Yeah.
We make
Which
it
we
work.
Can be pretty, like Nick said, she can be pretty extra. Yep. We just follow along.
So before we move into our soap operas, our stories,
yeah.
as the old ladies would say, I just do want to give one plug. So on Friday, I got up to the Berkshires and I did a fellow podcaster's podcast. I co-hosted one with him. He was on our show, Nick G from the Dependent Independent Podcast. So I get up to the Berkshires and I'm like, all right, guys, hi. They're like, champagne toast. I was like, sure. I was like, gotta go. Ran up to the bedroom and like got right on Skype. And they were like, what are you doing in there with your computer? Like, what's going on? So they all thought like I was having like a like, sex Skype.
I was gonna say, like phone sex kind of thing.
Yeah. But anyway, so I did a great episode of the Dependent Independent Podcast, which will be available tonight at midnight, so you should all check it out. Love Nick G, and we had a good time.
He was awesome. We had him on the show. You know, he's a straight gentleman out of New Jersey doing his podcast show. I think it's a 200-episode mm-hmm. Podcast, and he interviews so many people.
Yeah.
And his podcast is actually really good. I like the topics that he talks about. He talks about everything. He talks about movies. He talks about bartending, which included some of the stuff that you guys discussed
well,
in yours, right?
The theme for... So his podcast, it's about... looking back while moving forward. So mm-hmm. taking everything that you've learned in life and how that makes you who you are and how you travel forward with all of that. And part of this, so him and his wife, Meg. So Meg was on the podcast with him. It was so great to meet her. She's so lovely. When they go on vacation, they always sit at a bar or whatever, and they like nonchalantly get to know their bartenders and ask them pretty personal questions. So since I'm a bartender, the theme was get to know your bartender, and he actually plays some like ambiance in the background. But they just like asked me a bunch of questions. It actually kind of just went, it veered pretty quickly, but it was generally, it was a really good episode. It's very gay.
Well, obviously.
You learn
look
a lot
who came
of,
on.
You Nick
learn
was
a,
on it.
You learn a lot about me.
Two Nicks, one straight, one gay, and the other one calls herself Trish. Figure it out.
Super busy.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's a great idea, you know, just the idea, because I am and we are who we are from where we came from. And that's what he's exploring with meeting these people. Like, who are you? How did you become this person? And where are you going in life? And I think that's such a beautiful thing to actually tune in. Every week's different and it's fun. You know?
Yeah, he does amazing work. I really do like him. And mm-hmm. he's a very nice guy, genuinely a very mm-hmm. nice guy. So it's not like what you're seeing on camera is not what he is as a person outside of his podcast. He just truly is who he is, and that speaks for itself.
Totally.
So we have a lot of stories that we want to cover on today's show, but we need to get into our delicious cocktail for today. Christopher.
I picked it, but I didn't make it today. And I'll tell you what, you know, Nick's been a bartender and for a while, but like today he made a good drink.
Lord have mercy. So Nick, do you want to tell us what's in the cocktail?
No, I got this.
Yeah, I think okay. he should.
I got right. this. And we're doing it because obviously we met with Melissa yesterday. And if you remember the first time she came on back when that mess Paul was on our show, he's like, oh, what do you like for drinks? And she's like, well, I'm more of the herbal kind of person. Oh, we'll do tea and shots. We're like, okay,
not,
Paul.
That's not so, the type yeah, of herbal
exactly.
girl.
So we went with the tea theme. So today we're doing the green tea. It's actually a very simple cocktail. It consists of Irish whiskey. We're using Jameson Halau because we drank a shit ton of fucking Tully last night, so we had to veer away from that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I had a headache all day. So it consists mm-hmm. of Irish whiskey, 2 ounces Irish whiskey, 3/4 ounce Peachtree schnapps, splash of sour mix, and a splash of Sprite. You add the whiskey, Peachtree, and sour into a shaker. Shake that vigorously. Strain into a chilled glass and top off with a splash of Sprite. This can be served as a cocktail or as a shot.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people actually order them as shots.
It's more
than
of a
drinks.
Shot, yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually very delicious.
And you really made it fucking perfectly. When you came over, you're like, I think it's not bad. It's good. It's not bad. I'm like, no, that's fucking good.
It tastes like green tea.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's what's interesting. I love it because it's Jameson, which is whiskey, which is when you think whiskey, it's like heavier, it's winter. But this cocktail is actually light and refreshing and mm-hmm. great for the summer.
I would drink this year round.
Yeah. Well,
it's actually very good. Well, of course. I drink everything year round. Duh.
No, it's very good. You did a nice job. It tastes
Thank
like
you.
Lipton green tea.
Yeah,
like
it's
from
delicious.
The fucking bottle.
It was so funny. You know how he always bashes me when I make drinks? Mm-hmm. Today, I handed him the drink and he was like, oh my God, this is really good. And I turned around, I walked back in the living room and I was like, did you just compliment my bartending? And he was like, yeah. And I walked over and I gave him a little hug. I got a little teary. It was a moment.
It was.
Get over it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's jump into our story. So there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news. There was a lot of videos posted on Facebook. One in particular actually made a very, very significant impact to the point where it elicited a response even from the people that were involved in the situation. So the CNN reports that Salt Lake City Police Department has now issued an official apology to the nurse arrested for refusing to allow an investigator to obtain blood from an unconscious patient.
That was fucking bullshit.
It was
yes,
disgusting.
It was.
That video was nasty.
So the patient who was involved in a car crash on July 26 was admitted into the University of Utah Hospital's burn unit in a coma. It was reported that the patient, who was not a suspect in the wreck, was involved in the accident that killed another driver. Whatever that meant. Hey, guys. So anyways, at the hospital, Detective Jeff Payne demanded blood be drawn from the patient. The nurse, identified as Nurse Wubbles, I love that fucking name, by the way, refused, citing established hospital policy that was agreed upon by both the Salt Lake City Police and the medical center itself. The policy states that in order for blood to be drawn from a patient who is not conscious, one of three criteria need to be met. Police need to have a judge's order to draw blood. The patient must give consent, or the individual must be under arrest. The nurse promptly showed the officer a printout of the guidelines while on the phone with the hospital administrators and told the investigator that his request did not meet any of these criteria. This is when Detective Jeff Payne lost his cool and said the following: oh, please, we're done, we're done, we're done. Wubbles shrieks as Payne forces her out of the door towards a police car. She screams for him to stop, saying, I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. Why is this happening? This is crazy. So she asked out loud why the officer is so angry. Payne handcuffed Wubbles and placed her in a police car where she sat for about 20 minutes, according to CNN affiliates KSL. She was later released without charge. Now, the Salt Lake City Chief Police, Mike Brown, said in a news conference Friday, quote, I am alarmed by what I saw in the video with our officer and Mrs. Wubbles. I am sad that a rift like this, that this has caused a rift between law enforcement and the nurses that work so close together. In most circumstances, they do. The department opened an internal affairs investigation into the incident and placed both the Detective Payne and the other officer who was there, who was not named in the report, under full administrative duty.
The thing that's so fucking crazy about this was established between
that
as policy between the police department and the hospital. And someone with the title of detective, literally, that's insubordination, excuse me.
Well, like, I mean, I think it's an abuse of power, first of all. Because you know how when you're a police officer, you have certain police officers that are just genuinely amazing people and want to work with the public and be, work for the people. And then you have these police officers that just think that because they wear a badge, it's a freaking pass for them to just treat you however they wish they can and think that their authority supersedes your humanity.
Yeah. Have you ever been in one of those situations where, you know, there are people that are combating you from all you know, angles, and it's just you and everybody's coming at you, and you snap and you get defensive? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not standing up for this cop. He fucked up, like, hardcore.
Oh, of course he did.
But I think that's what happened. But the nurse was completely in the right to do what she did. She needed to stand up for her patient, as
right,
she should.
Right, exactly, for the patient.
So the fact that he went after her like that, just because his dignity or his pride was hurt, He shouldn't be on administrative office duty. He should be on leave.
Removed.
Leave.
Well, here's another thing that I keep going back to. We all have bad days at work, mm-hmm. right? And especially when you're in law enforcement. And we've had Dave Hartman here on the show many times, and he explains that, you know, people have bad days. But when you're a detective, that means that you have already been in that department or at least a police officer for multiple years,
right.
meaning a long time. So you should already know that when you're getting a little edgy, walk away.
Yeah. And like, you have to, if you actually hold yourself as a police officer, you have to hold yourself to a higher standard.
Right.
You cannot, you
Absolutely.
Are supporting the community. You are protecting the community. Therefore, you need to hold yourself to a higher standard. That doesn't mean you're above anybody else. That just means you have to treat everybody like they're equal and not like they did something wrong
right.
when they didn't.
And what you said is exactly, it's such a good point. Like, this one woman put him so over the edge just by saying, no, you can't do this. He felt backed into a corner so much being told no.
Yeah.
That he just
snapped. He just, exactly. And that goes to show that someone like that should not be allowed to be a police officer. Someone who can't keep their cool like that. For one woman to just say, this is against what we've agreed on.
She had the hospital administrators
and
right on the phone.
And she kept her cool.
And she
kept
had
her cool,
her
never raised her voices.
Yeah.
And she was saying, you guys agreed to this. Yeah. It's right here in black and white.
And the, administrator was like, you are making a bad decision right now.
Yep.
You are making a very bad decision. And then he lost it.
That's what it was. He felt, he was feeling that he was backed into a corner and he just took his quote unquote power out.
I think, listen, I don't think the man should lose his job. He's a police officer and he serves his community, obviously. But I don't think he should be a detective anymore. I think he should probably work within the police department internally. You should not be dealing with the public at all if you can't keep your cool.
Well, and there's also the element that maybe he needs to also have counseling.
I was going
to
say he probably needs
possibly
help.
Counseling?
If he can't handle his keep his cool, he needs help.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, figure something out. I mean, you can't go out. And then this is another professional. You work closely together with these group of nurses and these group of medical personnel to rectify a situation in where someone is hurt and you're trying to just figure out what's wrong and what happened. And you have to work closely with your local other agencies, like, you know, the medical field and the police departments and the fire departments. You all have to work together. And if you come into a situation with an ego and someone else has another ego and you're literally going at it, and that's not the case with this nurse. She was cool. But let's say, for example, this police officer comes in onto the scene and you've got a supervisor from a fire department that's telling him, step back because, you know, there's a fire like 5 feet from you. You shouldn't be here. And they start arguing with each other because, you know, well, I'm law enforcement or whatever, whatever. It's just like, it just goes to show you that when you have too many dominant people in a room, shit can happen.
Not to mention, he carries a fucking gun with that temper.
Yeah.
That's why people should be seeking help.
I know I shouldn't say this on air, but that is the type of personality and energy that leads to people getting shot.
I was gonna say, for no reason. Yeah,
exactly. And there's nothing wrong with you saying that on air. It's the truth. I mean, we've seen evidence of that. For example, when Castillo got shot, I mean, the man told him, I have a gun, I have a permit, and reaching for his wallet, and all of a sudden, you know, the man is dead with his daughter in the back seat and his wife in the driver's seat. So, I mean, you see when things like this happen, and this easily could have escalated to something completely different, but he was still out of line.
Yeah, and not that I want to keep beating a dead horse, but that nurse did everything right. She asked all the right questions. She said, is this person under arrest?
You know,
she went through the policy.
That was the biggest thing. She said everything that, right. She, every
and she
detail.
Asked him, she, and he answered, is he under arrest? No. Do you have consent? No. Do you have a judge's order? No. Then I'm sorry,
right there.
Sir.
That's the policy that
and
was signed and agreed.
And he still proceeded to arrest her. I was just shocked. I saw the video and it really hurt me.
Yeah.
It really hurt because you can genuinely tell that Nurse Wubbles really wants to do right by her patients.
Right, exactly.
I feel kind of funny saying the name, but it's just, it's cute. I like it.
Does Wubbles get claps?
Yes, she does.
Wubbles!
So needless to say, she was released and she, without record or issue. Yeah. She has no record. She's good to go. She's back at work, but nonetheless, the experience in itself was traumatizing. I mean, I would have been traumatized. You're arresting me for nothing? I'm doing my fucking job, dude. Back the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, Christopher.
Me.
You. Your me. Turn. What do you got for us this
week? I'm actually going to use a story that I've had for like 3 weeks now that I've been like bringing week after week into our notes. This is a cool one.
I think you should say it because we've been talking about it now for like 2 weeks and no one even knows what the story is, but go for it.
That's a really good point. I've actually mentioned it. Yeah. So there's a queer duo that... Queer is just a term that's so interesting for me.
I hate that term.
I don't like it. I'm just reading like how it's titled. But
that and fag, I hate it.
I don't like that word either. That one's just mean.
I said I'm the biggest one.
Oh, I thought you were calling her out.
No.
Like, well,
no, not yet.
She's one big old rainbow. So as it's titled, a queer duo will wed in every country with same-sex marriage for a stunning project. Two European artists who happen to be a real-life couple are teaming up for a compelling performance piece that will take them around the world on behalf of LGBT rights. Flo Piret and Julian Boom. I have to say names. They have been together for 7 years and are planning to wed in each of the 24 countries. Hopefully Chile will become number 25. They're planning to be wed in each of the 24 countries where same-sex marriage is legal. The artistic duo known as JF Piret are mum on specifics of the project titled 22, but told HuffPost that they will take photos and shoot video for an art installation to be exhibited at the conclusion of the project, currently slated to end in the latter months of 2018. They married in Belgium in 2012 and have been living in Spain for the past 3 years. They sold all their possessions and will each be traveling with one suitcase. They're currently home-based. Yeah, that, I know. Trish, she just shut up.
That's like, not possible for Trish. She would travel with a whole fucking barge full of
clothes.
She
couldn't travel for two fucking days with one suitcase. So she had two suitcases and one bag of shit she bought.
So you know those big barges that come into like San Francisco Bay that have all these like metal containers? That's Trish traveling the world.
That's just her fucking makeup. That's just a barge of Bondo.
First of all, it's not my fault that you are going to wear this one, okay? It's not my fault. Second of all, I like to be prepared. The sad truth of the matter is I did bring far too much stuff and then bought my entire outfits for the weekend. So I just brought more stuff. The trunk is full.
I can't stand her.
So much shit for 2 days.
Hey, you had a dry pair of shoes yesterday, did you not?
That is true, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, I wore them before you.
At least we know the people in our story can carry one suitcase. Well, carry on, right, baby boy.
So, yes. Currently, they're home-based in New York, where they plan to begin their project with marrying in Manhattan City Hall. From there, they'll be spending 2 weeks in each of the 24 nations that legalize marriage equality, starting in the Netherlands in October and ending in New Zealand by October of 2018.
Oh my God, if anyone knows these two, tell them they need to come to Connecticut and get married in Connecticut just for hoo-has.
We need to reach out to them and have them on the show.
Yeah, and then you can come here and sit with us and talk about your experience. You can get married right in New Haven City Hall. We'll come down and
be your witnesses. Yeah, they're right there. Mm-hmm. They're in Manhattan.
My question is though, are they getting married? Can you get married in a bunch of different countries, legally?
Apparently, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Because I know In America, you can get married in one state, and it's generally recognized that's something we're fighting for in every state.
Yeah, you can get married as many times as you want. As long as you apply for a marriage license in each state, then you can do it.
But don't you have to be a citizen? I guess not, because...
No,
that's true. That's true.
We're all citizens.
No, I mean, of another country, I mean.
No, because people have, marriages all the time.
Right, they'll elope while they're out or something that.
And people have, destination weddings.
You know what would be interesting to me? Say you got married in, I don't know, Germany or Scotland or something like that. Is it 100% recognized in America, or do you have to pay a fee?
No, all marriages are. If you're an American citizen... And you go and you get married somewhere else, you're still an American citizen. When you come back, you show your marriage certificate. It's legal. It's recognized because you got married.
All
right. You still have to go through the whole process of applying for your marriage licenses when you go to these countries. If you weren't an American citizen, then the validation of that marriage obviously would be in question until they're able to verify with those agencies there that you were.
But, not that it matters for me. It's just not in my cards.
But you can go anywhere pretty much as long as you're able to actually apply for a license.
Yeah.
And register with their registrar, you can just get married.
And that's what they're doing.
That's awesome.
That is really cool. I mean, I would totally...
Well, it just... What they're doing is they're bringing focus to the fact that, these 22 nations, hopefully...
24.
Well, 24 nations, hopefully 25 soon.
And many more.
are allowing, you know, people to get married of the same sex, and they're really taking that and really bringing that forward and recognizing these 24 countries and saying, look what we can do in all these amazing countries. And I really hope that more countries come on board and start doing this, because you know what? We're humans too, and all we want is just to be loved and to love someone that loves us back.
Right.
And few can't and ask for anything more.
Yeah.
You know?
But speaking of 24. Speaking of 24,
uh-huh.
Australia, we talked about
right
Australia.
Now.
There. Well, we'll get to the email eventually. But so I saw this video that went viral on... I mean, I saw it on Facebook, but this is coming from pinknews.com. So this angry Australian dad lost his shit. Like
the detective?
Yeah. Well, no. He was sitting in his living room watching the news, I guess, or something like that. And he lost his shit over the fact that they're spending $122 million on this whole campaign thing. Chris, what is that campaign again? It's about Christopher?
I'm listening to you.
It's what's the campaign they're like putting out the car? The
it was a calling.
It's a calling.
It was like cold. Or,
it's like a poll almost.
Yeah, they were going to your home phones.
Right. So they spent $122 million on this poll, and so he's freaking out because of like all you know. What about cancer research? What about these kids? That, you know, this is not money that we should be fucking spending on some goddamn stupid poll. We need to be spending it on people
taking care of the community.
Taking care of the community. But later on in the video, somebody said, "Well, what's your opinion about it?" He's like, "I don't fucking give a shit." Actually, I have the quote. Let me find the quote.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you that it's, and you know what? In a sense, he's right.
No,
we shouldn't have to spend.
He's absolutely right.
We shouldn't have to spend millions of dollars trying to freaking probe people to find out where they sit or where they lie on the decision as to whether or not two people can love each other. Fuck you. It's none of your business. Let me get married to whoever I want to get married to, unless it's not, you know, an animal or something. But,
so,
you know,
yeah, no, he
and
said,
let
like,
me just live my life and be happy. Yeah.
No, he was saying things like, you know, who are the politicians to fucking make the decision if somebody can love somebody else, blah, 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 blah. So the point of this whole story is he's freaking out about the money, but he's also supportive. At the end, he says, I'm absolutely for it, but I mean, it's none of our fucking business. I don't care. Hello!
Exactly.
Hello!
Exactly.
A sound mind... Yeah, he might have been pissed off about the money spent, but, like, that's what people should... Why does it matter? But, why does it affect you?
But he's got absolutely every
I'm
right to be pissed off about that.
Money.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm pissed
so
off about
much,
the money, yes.
Right.
No, he
so
should
many,
be pissed off about the money.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things. Like you said, there are fucking children who are dying from cancer. There are children who can't eat. What are you pointing at?
The dog.
Oh. He's I was like, what is it?
Sleeping.
What is it? What is it?
I think they already know.
How
is
he sleeping during?
I think they already know.
Yeah, no, he said 122 million, and here's us seeing kids with cancer today, and people are dying in their fucking homes. Sorry, they're bleeping it out in the article, so that's what I'm doing.
You bleeped
yourself out.
Yeah, no,
I'm bleeping
homes.
It out because they can't have operations, and these kids are spending 122 million. Like, what the fuck?
Over that, it's
and
ridiculous.
He's right, though. He is absolutely right. So you know what? I think he gets claps.
No, totally, totally.
And Nick wasn't clapping, but that's
no,
okay.
She wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I was going to actually just give you his name.
Yeah, what is his name?
It just says Angry Dad.
Okay, well, to
Angry Dad. Angry Dad.
All right.
That's even better.
Oh, no, Mark Orville, 49-year-old former Orville. Aussie rules player. Mike Angry Dad Orville.
I like that. I like that.
Well, he better work. So what else do we have, boys?
Well, Well, since we're still talking about Australia, we had this past week, we got an email from one of our listeners out in Australia, Ben.
Oh, my God. Yes, I remember.
And so this email is intense and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because
it's a lot.
But he basically what he did, which is I empower any of our listeners to do this because this is means so much to us because we spoke about. You know, what was going on with marriage equality. And well, Chris started the conversation about marriage equality in Australia, but he really filled us in about the climate and like what's really happening over there. And to hear from somebody that's living there means the world to us. And, you know, like we're reaching you and then you can fill us in so that we can fill in the world about what's really going on there. But the most intense thing that I saw was he added propaganda photos to the end of the email. And there was literally a poster, and the tagline of the poster is, stop the fags. 92% of children raised by gay parents are abused. Bullshit. I don't know where they got that
fact. I know. Where the fuck did they get these statistics?
51% have depression. And the reason 51% of homosexuals have depression, if that percentage is correct, I believe it is a high percentage because we deal with people like you.
Yeah, exactly. That mindset.
And 72% are obese. Are you fucking kidding me, honey? No.
where are you getting these statistics? And it's really sad because it's a child with his head down and there are two arms holding rainbow belts.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm like, that is disgusting.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But like this gentleman, Ben, reached out to us and really filled us in on a bunch of what's going on out there. And it's, and one of the things it's disgusting. And the LGBTQ community is hurting out in Australia. So we need to be there and we need to be supportive. And
thank you, Ben, for taking the time to write to us and letting us know what's going on. Because sometimes, you know, we read things and we come on the show and we talk about something and then it may not be what it actually is going on because we're not there. So when we have our listeners tune in and let us know that, hey, this is what's really happening, you should, mention this. Of course, we're going to do it. You know, right. We're going to make sure that we relay that message and bring awareness to what it is that's going on. Because, again, you are all part of our community. And if it affects you, then we need to discuss it and we need to, keep it going so that we can see some sort of change through talking and discussion.
Right. And the most important thing is to keep the conversations going. That's what this needs to be talked about. It needs to not be silent. We have to, like Nick always says, we have to be visible. So they're part of our community and we're part of their community. So the more they can fill us in, the more we can talk about and get the dialogue going. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to get change.
I mean, from his email, what I'm getting from it is kind of like how we all felt when Trump came into presidency, like beaten down.
It's a sense of despair.
Yeah, there's just, that's, I feel like that's how the community in Australia right now is feeling. I'm going to read you a little a snippet of what he said. Completely fabricated statistics are being circulated about children of same-sex couples, which I read to you earlier. Prime Minister Turnbull has been asked if he will ban this false information, but he says it's part of the democratic debate and won't shut it down. The bigotry is flowing freely and the LGBT+ community are heartbroken, but trying to stay strong. So keep staying strong.
Yeah,
and
because
we're here to support you.
And with the Prime Minister not banning this false information, sometimes it's this terrible propaganda that needs to piss the wrong person off enough to really get it going. So I'm not saying that Turnbull's doing the wrong thing by letting this go on, because eventually he's just going to piss off enough. This propaganda is going to piss off enough people to where the ball can maybe get rolling in the right direction.
The sad thing about this fake propaganda, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it happens here, it happens everywhere, but these facts are not real and people believe them.
Right. Well that's what propaganda is. That's textbook propaganda.
And that's how Donald Trump got into office. Sad but true. But you know what? To our listeners in Australia, stay strong, stay the course, do what you need to do and make sure that you guys are vocal. You live in a government that for the most part is pretty relatively similar to the United States. So I'm assuming you have freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to. Well, I can't assume. I hope that you do. And if you do, that right.
Yeah.
Make sure that you do that.
That's why they're allowed to be saying what they're saying.
So, but I have to call Chris out though, because he did write in the email. He goes, thanks again for talking about this. I love you guys and listen every week. Love your Instagram. Chris has yet to accept my follow request. And
I just learned that IG meant Instagram. You think I know how to log in?
It's funny too, because he's not the only person that said something about IG this week.
Right?
We had another Instagram follower that said, "Why
bitching about me?"
Yeah, he messaged us privately, me and Tom, because he's not friends with you. He's
so like, does he think I don't like him?
Will Chris ever accept my IG request? And I'm like, probably not.
I forgot my password like 3 months ago, and I just didn't care about Instagram enough to hit recover password now. I don't remember
how
to use it.
So we're going to put him on the spot and on the show.
He tried last night.
Will you commit to allowing us to help you regain access to your Instagram so that you could respond to our listeners.
I will commit to giving Trish my phone for 3 minutes a week to help Instagram be.
I will cut
one, thing. It'll be one post a week. So, every Monday.
I was like, I just got back into Snapchat. By the way, you can add me. It's Dvorak391. Dvorak391. Snapchat. Yas.
Not that he's going to be able to reply, but sure.
But then he
went on to say, hey, keep up the amazing work that you do. And when you do come to Australia for a show, I'd love to meet you and take you out for drinks. Absolutely.
Gay Talk credit card.
He said, by the way, both Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah Winfrey did shows in Australia, and you should too. So to our Australian audience, if you know any promoters out there that are willing to fly us out there and find us a joint, we'll sit down and do a show for Gay Talk in Australia.
Yeah, we will.
Anywhere in Australia, except where places where there's big spiders, because I do not.
Are you kidding
spiders.
Me? Pretty much everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
So, well...
Yeah, no,
you
I
included
I
heard, once
yeah.
you land.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't fuck around.
So anyway, to Ben, thank you. Thank you for reaching out to us and keeping us in the loop. And please continue to do so. If you see anything, hear anything that you think that we need to discuss on the show, send us an email and let us know right away.
Yes, please do.
Yes. So do you guys want to take a quick break?
Yeah, totally.
Break. This pig.
I didn't mean to. It tastes like potato chips.
All right, we're going
to
leave you with some music. We'll be right back.
Yeah. kitchen floor. It seems like you can't take no more. I'm sorry, but when my engine starts, I just can't get enough. I've let you up and tie you down, so you'll be here, won't sneak around. I'll lace you up and put you on. Running, running for you every day and night. I'm running, running for you, gotta move, don't want no ride. So warm me up, cause I know the world is at my feet, yeah. So take me higher, baby, let's go and hit the streets, yeah. Streets, streets, yeah. Streets, yeah. So I'll keep running, running, running for you. So I'll keep running, running, running for you. Day and night, I'm running, running for you, gotta go and step outside. So warm me up, cause I know the world is at my feet, yeah. So take me higher, baby, let's go and hit the streets, yeah, streets, yeah.
right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Invisible, Memories and Running, all by Jens East, and numerous, several artists that he's had featured on his records. But that last song that you just heard, We Need to Be Loved, is by one of our guests who we will have on the show September 18th. His name is Anthony Starbell. And again, the name of that song was We Need to Be Loved. I need to find out if that song is available at this point to download.
It is available. It's on iTunes. That's how I first heard it.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, if you need to download that song, which we encourage that you do, support our LGBT artist, download the song.
He's got a couple songs out, actually. And I mean, I stumbled upon him and I heard his voice on, it was on Instagram. And I was like, he liked one of our posts. So I went to his page and I listened to one of his videos and I was like, oh my God, this kid has an amazing voice.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the words to that song is just so impactful.
So,
you know, especially in light of today's climate, saying those words and listening to the fact that we do need to be loved really speaks volumes of the type of work that this kid is capable of doing. So I'm super excited to have him on the show September 18th. So our listeners need to stick around and stay tuned for that. I'm super excited. So we're back from our break. We've got more stories. Maybe I'll kick it off. Do you guys mind?
Do your thing, girl.
Please,
all right.
Girl.
So I got a story here coming all the way from the wonderful Big Apple. A drag queen from New York City that goes by the name of Monet Exchange took to her
Monet Exchange.
Monet Exchange seriously took her drag name. Literal. Okay, I got my dogs with me. I had Fitz on my lap, and then little Oliver is trying to bark at me, saying, "Why am I not up there?" But I just put them down.
He was just licking Fitz's penis.
Oh God,
that's what dogs do. They smell their ass too. But anyway, so she literally took her drag name in a literal form when she chose to literally hop into full drag and makeup in the middle of Times Square. So this queen, in the process, strikes up a conversation with a tourist from Oklahoma who approaches her and exchanges a very, very sweet dialogue. According to Monet, the conversation was so impactful that she said that she gained a friend for life in Jeannie from Tulsa, Oklahoma. The two shared a loving and caring experience in one of New York's most visible and busiest of places. The experience, which Monet recorded in its entirety, shows Jeannie from Tulsa and her companions attending Monet's show later that night. They went out to the drag show. I thought that was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do so that you guys know what I'm talking about is post a video on today's post with our stuff for the show for this episode so that you guys can link
the show
up
notes.
To that.
Yes, I got you.
Thank you. And see the video. I saw the video and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. These bitches are making fun of me.
No, I'm not. I'm supporting you.
Thank you,
we
baby.
We always support you.
Whatever. Yeah. What? Seriously.
Do y'all remember last week? You guys burned me. You straight up burned
you
me.
You deserved
last week.
It last week, though. You know.
I think you did.
Probably.
Yeah, she was. Oh, she was nasty last
week. Yes, she
week.
Was.
Yes, she did. Fuck her. Fuck her. I'm mad again. I'm mad at you. We're fighting.
Speaking of fuck her, very quickly before I go back into this story with Monet Exchange. So we had Brian came over yesterday and he was helping me put my TV up on the wall with me and stuff. And he's been in the studio before with us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he said he was out to dinner with his parents and all of a sudden his mother just like something happened and the mother just turns around and says, fuck her. And so he goes, oh, my God. He starts cracking up and he starts laughing. He's like, Ma, I listen to these guys, and that is, like, their favorite word. And she just literally looked at him and said, then fuck her. I thought that was so cute. But so, Brian, shout out to you. Thank you for sharing that story. I thought it was sweet. But anyway, back to this drag queen. Can you imagine? Literally, she was in, like, a muumuu, walks up into these bleachers that are sitting in the middle of Times Square.
And we all know drag queens come with a suitcase, so she was dragging something behind her.
She had a suitcase, and so you can see in the video where she just starts pounding her face. She's got this little mirror, and she's got the natural light, and she's just beating the shit out of her face. And this woman just comes and sits next to her and starts asking questions and, you know, and just complimenting her. Oh, you know, you look so pretty, and this looks pretty, etc. And then, you know, then you see her start, like, you know, to, like, take her muumuu off, and she's putting on her little tight on and she's putting her little bra on and you can see the woman fixing her bra for her. It was a really cute exchange and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, she's like, can I take a picture of you? And so she takes the picture and they really hit it off and then, you know, she invited them all to the show at the end of the night and she did and they went and they had an amazing time and supposedly they're the best of friends now.
That's amazing. I mean, I know I preach visibility, But damn, girl, you took it to a new level. New level.
Times Square. I mean, when you think about it, is one of the meccas of business and people, and just everyone's always there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what time it is. People are always in
Times
Square.
But you know what's great about it, too, is it's Times Square, so it's tourists. You know, it's I mean, yeah, of course, New Yorkers are there as well, but
it's people
impacting people from... Exactly. All over the country. All over the world.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, add more to that.
And that's super powerful.
It is.
I'm super proud of her for having the courage and the balls to do that. I mean, that takes...
She has them.
That takes a lot to stand out there and do that.
No,
I mean,
she was cute. Oh, and then... Oh, so... But I do have to call you out, baby girl. So, when she... so, when she was ready to walk off the bleachers, she had her heels on, and she took that first step. She almost took a tumble, and then she looked back. She goes, ha! And then she just drags a suitcase and starts sashaying her way down the street. It was beautiful.
Monet Exchange, we love you.
Yes, girl. Claps for her.
Monet Exchange, that's such a good name.
Yes, it is. She really did exchange everything on those bleachers.
I mean, yeah, she
everything.
Did.
So,
where the fuck are there bleachers in Times Square?
They're right in the center.
Serious?
Oh, so, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I kept picturing like a football field, and where is this?
They butt up right next to TKTS. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I got it now.
Yeah, she was just sitting there pounding her face. She better work. That's all I gotta say.
I've seen weddings up there and stuff. Like they've used them bleachers.
Yes, they have.
I remember when they shut down that whole section, and you were like, "What
do I do now?"
Yeah, I know. Like you couldn't drive through it for a while. Like it's well, Times Square is crazy.
To be honest with you, I think they should shut down Times Square to traffic. They should just make it pedestrian.
It would be so hard, though.
But, I mean, you can just go around the block. Seriously. I mean, it's 7th Avenue, and it goes all the way through, and you've got another street that comes through it as well. I know that it's in the heart of you know, the Broadway, but still, forget about it. Just shut it down, make it a pedestrian-only thing, and that's less that the police have to worry about as far as people using cars for you know, barraging through people.
Oh, valid, true. You're not actually, you know, that's very true.
Because, I mean, if you wanted to do a lot of impact, Times Square would be it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, and there's a lot of visibility when it comes to police officers and stuff in that area. So I know that they're on their game. But still, when someone wants to inflict damage, they're going to do it. And given what happened in Spain not too long ago, I think that it would make sense to just shut it down. There's so many pedestrians, and seriously, how many times have I been walking across the street, and I literally have to, like, look bad, like, look at someone and be like, what the fuck are you looking at, motherfucker? I'm in the crosswalk, and I'm walking, and your car literally came, like, inches away from my body. Yeah. These are taxi drivers.
Yeah, I know, but you know
They're horrible.
I've been hit by a taxi cab. You just get up and walk it off. Like, it's New York.
What the fuck are you made of?
I'm just saying, they're not going that fast.
She must have been loaded with vodka.
Anyway, so, question mark.
Uh-huh.
We didn't talk about this, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. So I guess the New York mayor is taking down some statue, it's some statue. I can't remember what it was, but it's, you know, how all those statues are coming down, and they want
right.
to, you know, about what these people actually
with
were.
Confederacy.
Confederacy and all that stuff. And I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
I know you're talking about, but what was the statue?
I can't remember. I was talking to my father about it, and I can't remember what statue it is. I'll look it up.
Because that's kind of going to be an issue for the conversation.
I think it's Columbus? Christopher Columbus.
Oh, well, fuck her.
Well, yeah.
Remember, what was it? What was that opener we did? Happy Slave Trader Genocide Day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but I want, like, do you think that it's a good idea to take these statues down and get rid of them?
Well, here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, babies. At this point in time, we are going through a point in time in our country's history, because this will eventually be history, and where we're learning to identify these people for what they truly were.
Right.
And what they signified at one point in time is not what they signify today. And what they stand for today is completely unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to have these figures in public spaces where people who have been affected by all of the things that these people have done is kind of like a slap in the face.
It's not even public spaces. It's having these... The Confederacy is textbook definition of treason.
Of course
these are people that tried to tear the United States apart, and to have them not on public spaces, but to have them on government sites...
Of course.
...is totally unacceptable.
Okay.
Correct. And so, in that being said... I think that it's time for us to rejuvenate our country and look for individuals who truly deserve those honors.
Right.
And put these people or these statues in museums so that we could still learn about the history of what happened and why these people were revered for whatever reason or what they did to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, well, yeah, you didn't deserve it, but you're here now and I learned about you. Be gone, good riddance, and move on.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, mayors and governors, they're trying to stand up against Trump. So they're doing everything in their power that would go against something that he would want. I'm so happy that you said what you said about putting them in museums, though.
Of course.
Because I don't think that all of these statues that are coming down should come down. Because one, I think we are fixating on the negative of what this one person did. Obviously, they had a huge impact to America's history, and they've done a lot more than just the one or couple negative things, or in some cases, many negative things that they did. However, I think that we can't just erase our past. It's very important that we keep. So if we take them down to replace it with something more statuesque that makes sense for America, we need to put them in a museum so that we don't forget our history. History repeats itself, and we don't want to deal with that.
And you never try to hide history. You always learn from your history. And Hans Hershey, he's been on the show before, an author from Sweden.
He's coming back in October.
Exactly. And he did, he wrote an article, which I've shared on Facebook, and I highly recommend you reading it, about what's going on with the statues, and it was after Charlottesville. And it made such a good point. Yeah, okay, people could do good things, but have shitty past. But like, for instance, one of the things he says, Adolf Hitler, he was an animal lover, but you don't see like the Adolf Hitler Humane Society. Like you don't see a shelter named after Adolf Hitler because he loved animals. Oh yeah, just push the whole genocide thing aside. You know, that's okay. No, those belong in museums. That is something you learn from, you will never forget, but you do not erect that on a government property. That almost shows pride in something like that.
Of course it does. And you got to think about how and where all this stuff starts happening, too. Oh, we have a little guest today, my little fellow little boy, Oliver, but he's barking in the background. So the thing is that you got to take into account, too, where most of these statues exist. When you think of the Mason-Dixon line.
Right.
Anything south of that line, you are guaranteed to run into a square in where they literally have some general that fought in the Confederate War for the Confederacy. Yeah. Because
Civil War.
You know, the Civil War, the American Civil War. These people grew up with slavery. They grew up with this. This is what they knew, and this is what they thought it was okay. The reason why that we got into the Civil War in the first place was because they were fighting for that right to keep their slaves and to keep slavery, and the North didn't want to, and that is why they seceded the Union, and that is why, you know, you've seen an act like, for example, Abraham Lincoln having to declare the emancipation
proclamation.
The proclamation to free the slaves and say, no, we're not going to do this. And then he took the country to war against the Confederacy to say, no, we are still a union and you can't leave, but you're still going to, you know, honor what we have just set forth, that these people are equal and they're human. And to run around, and if I were a black person, I can't say that I am. I mean, I have it in me, but I can't say that I am because I'm not black. And I am down south. If I were walking down south and I run into a statue of Robert E. Lee, and I'm looking at this person and say, this person persecuted a lot of my people and killed them and had slaves, and why am I standing here and looking at this? What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
You're right.
It's a slap in the face. Yeah. Even though this didn't happen to me, in some way, shape, or form.
It happened to his family or her family.
Or your ancestors.
Yeah.
But who are we kidding? Institutional racism still exists today, and people in the black community experience racism, and you cannot deny that. And people who think that it doesn't exist really need a wake-up call.
Oh yeah, for
sure. It happens. And so what's happening right now with all these statues?
Women,
Of course.
Every ethnicity, every minority. I mean, that's, I feel like, you know, I always say America's built on like everybody, but really it's built on discrimination.
Of course it is. And, but, you know, so we've had a Charnel Bush, we've had him on the show before. He came in representing True Colors at one point in time, but they also have their own podcast called What About Your Friends? Mm-hmm. And they speak a lot about the things that happen and things that people do to people of color that is just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And so he posted something on Facebook and it really struck me because I have heard this many times over. So I'll see some white chick walk around and be like, oh, that's the inner black woman in me. I'm like, well, no, you really can't say it's the inner black woman in you because you're not a black woman and you'll never be one. So you could never understand what it is like to be a black woman. So if you're acting stupid and you think that that's your inner black woman, it's not. It's just you acting stupid. So quit with the shit. It's shit like that that shouldn't be said. And people need to be conscious and they need to be woke about the fact that, things like that don't need to be happening in today's age.
Right.
And so big up to him because you know what? It really like, it just like, wow, yeah, that opened my eyes. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So back to these statues. This is a slap in the face to the American people. It's a slap in the face to the African-American people or people of color in general.
Well, not just the people of color. I mean, there are statues of all different people. I mean, Christopher Columbus murdered thousands of Native Americans. I mean, millions might be.
He decimated our Taino Indians in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not just about one population. I mean, these statues represent a lot of different things.
Of course.
I'm sorry. I knew bringing this up would take us down a tangent, but I was really interested because I wanted to hear what you guys thought about it because I do think that we need to at least hold on to what has happened in the past in some capacity, in some way.
And like you said, that you know, these things should not be removed from society. These
no,
things
I think they
have
need to be
a time
documented.
And a place for everything, and it should be documented, and it should be put in museums. Even Hans was saying, you know, statues of their previous kings have been taken down. Girl, slamming the glass. Over time, you start to learn about what these people actually did and actually stood for. Robert E. Lee, he was not a secessionist in mindset. He did not originally fight in his head. He did not fight for the South. He fought for the state of Virginia, which happened to be in the South. So there are things that you start to learn about these people. Yes, mm-hmm. Of course, he did lead the Confederacy with Jefferson Davis, who was the president of it. But these are people that literally went out of their way and did everything in their power to try to tear this nation apart. Yeah. They should not be praised.
You're right.
They should not be forgotten because that is our history.
Yeah.
Mr. President, we're not trying to remove our history.
What
we're
happens
to
when
remove...
we forget? We have people putting Nazi flags on their
exactly.
fucking, on
it
their
happens
fucking
again.
Driveways. Like,
right.
This is, it's scary and it's sad. That's why I'm saying we need to remember and we need to tell these motherfuckers that we fought a war for that. So calm the fuck down and be
Hundreds
American.
Hundreds of thousands of American people, American men and women, died.
Yeah,
in Europe.
Yeah,
and in Japan. But to try to fight to make sure that that swastika would never, never fly over our homeland, over the homeland, United States. So many people died to make sure that that flag would never set foot on our turf.
Yep.
And now it's being fucking flown.
Yep.
Proudly. That's disgusting.
And the American people have the freedom of speech and they can do and say and have the right to do whatever the fuck they want. But when you do that, I don't care how stupid you may be or how middle America or whatever it is you may be, you are slapping America in the face. Mm-hmm. And all of those people that died so that your fat fucking dumb ass can sit in your fucking room and watch a goddamn Netflix show died for you, you're slapping them in the face.
Exactly.
So think about that. Think about that.
Yeah. I think they should.
I don't think any of them are listening to this, to be honest. But
no, but
Nazis
know,
are not fucking welcome in this country.
Yeah, it's. I think that, you know, it's time. It's time. We in our history, over history, we have shown that we go through these reevaluation periods. The last significant reconstruction period that I can recall was the civil rights movement, and where, you know, the people of color said enough is enough and we're going to fight for our rights. And they did what they had to do, because although that in paper they had gotten it. They had gotten that freedom, you know, that Emancipation Proclamation signed. Think about almost 100 years later, and they were still not actually free. Mm. And they said enough is enough. And so they said, no, we're going to make change. And now what you're seeing, it's not as drastic as that was, but this needs to happen. Yep. You know, we have come to a point in our time, in our history, in our lifetime, that we need to reevaluate what are we revering in our society, because we need to reflect everyone. We are the United States of America. We take them all.
Yeah. And this is at this point in our history, it does feel like we're taking a step back. And in that, we need to make sure that we acknowledge our history, but try to push that step forward again, because we should not be moving backwards like this. It's right. Not. Well, we've done so much work. Our community, other minority communities have done so much work to move forward. And so the statue should come down, but let's keep it in mind and remember our history.
Always learn from it. History repeats itself. If you don't learn from history, it's going to happen again.
I know. It's like all of those fucking men that I fuck. It's like, I always say I don't have sex with random people, but we have repeat customers. We all know we have repeat customers.
I'm not one
of them. Yes. I got to give you a yes, queen, for that one.
Two times.
Exactly.
Lord have mercy. So, Christopher.
Me?
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, in Canada.
Oh, this is so good.
The dogs don't even flinch anymore.
No, they don't.
Seriously, they're like, oh, she's going to talk about Canada again.
Here we go.
Can't wait to be there in January for all of our listeners. I haven't decided where I'm going yet, but that's not the story today. So Canada has quietly accepted 22 gay men and women from Chechnya since the end of June. Clap for Canada. Yes, of course. The Rainbow Railroad, a Toronto-based nonprofit organization that helps gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people escape from state-sponsored violence, revealed the clandestine initiative, which involved the Canadian government, on Facebook on Friday. But so far, Canada has opened its doors to the most... So far, Canada has opened its doors to the most LGBT refugees who have fled Chechnya, where mainly gay men have reportedly been detained, tortured, and unfortunately even murdered because of their sexual orientation. Other countries, Germany and France, I believe, have each taken in one, in Lithuania, who has opened its borders, has only accepted two refugees from Lithuania. So in July, the Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov said in an HBO interview, if there are any gay people in Chechnya, take them to Canada. It sends a very powerful statement about our leadership in the global community when it comes to LGBT rights. So there's a nation out there it's a state-run organization that is taking these people in with federal support. And if you remember the day after U.S. President Donald Trump released on January 27th, the executive order that issued a 90-day travel ban on citizens from 7 Muslim-majority countries, Mr. Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, released a statement on Twitter that read, quote, "To those fleeing persecution, terror, and war, Canadians will welcome you. Regardless of your faith, diversity is our strength. Hashtag, welcome to Canada."
Yes!
I love Justin. I do love him.
Oh, I wish he would call the show. I know that we're super gay, but still.
I
really wish that he would call the show.
There's like, that just warmed my heart a little bit because, I mean, so many men and potentially women have died in Chechnya because of this stupidity. And the fact that we have gotten people to safety and it just, I'm getting teary. I'm getting emotional. And it's just, no one should die because of who they are and who they love. And Justin is such a beacon for our community, for every community, and it just warms my heart.
Right, and Kadyrov is a plague. That man is a plague to this planet. But there are people, we've gotten through plagues before. We can defeat these type of people.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate that the United States of America
has not done shit.
Hasn't done one thing. Nikki Haley, our ambassador to the United Nations, has called out and has condemned it, but our head leadership has done nothing to help these
actions
human
beings. Speak louder than words, bitch.
So,
exactly.
To Donald Trump, fuck her. I was
fuck
all
her.
Fuck
her. Fuck her.
Thank you. Let's try that one more time. To Donald Trump.
Fuck her. Brought to you by unicornbooty.com.
Yes. So since we're talking about
tonight.
Since we're talking about fuck her.
Fuck her. I know where you're going with this. Fuck her.
We're going to take a little bit of a walk. So Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter.
Fuck her.
How do we feel about this cunt?
Fuck her.
Oh, you said this. I said it. I'm sorry. But she is. So she literally, so Hurricane Harvey, which again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Texas.
All the people in Houston. And Louisiana.
Horrible thing. We were supposed to mention that last week and we didn't get a chance to. No. So absolutely.
We kind of did.
She had the audacity to literally say Hurricane Harvey is God's punishment for Houston electing a lesbian mayor. What?
No. She didn't say it like that.
No, she did. But then she came back out and said, Hurricane Harvey is God's punishment for Houston electing a lesbian mayor. Or Hurricane Harvey is God's punishment for Houston electing a lesbian mayor is more credible and is a more credible explanation than climate change.
Hold on. I'm going to read the actual tweet right now. That's not a word for word. What it was. I don't believe Hurricane Harvey is God's punishment for Houston electing a lesbian mayor. But that is more credible than "quote unquote" climate change.
Still,
yes, I've just wanted to get the words right.
Wrong Thank with you, this yes. woman?
She's a fucking cunt. I'm How? Sorry for that one lesbian that we pissed off.
How?
That's so true.
How we're gonna get an email?
So many people are suffering in Houston and in Texas and like you said, Louisiana. Like there are so many people that are suffering, and this bitch goes on and tries to attack a community. And climate change is real, Anne.
Yeah,
like,
but they don't understand.
Wake the
that.
Fuck up!
But even the dude who fucking from the 700 Club who said God will flood all will continue to flood the 50 states as long as gays are allowed to marry.
Whatever.
They're literally. Running,
oh yeah, I saw that too.
They have no facts. They have to make up insults to blame this on something.
You got to remember that for the longest time, for eons. Religion has always been a tool for fear. It's a way of keeping people in check. It's a way for keeping men who are powerful in power. And so when you think about what Donald Trump is doing, when you think about what people like this horrible human being.
She's a garbage person.
She is a garbage person.
It's better than the C word. Yeah, she is a garbage person. When you think about what these people are throwing out there and the propaganda that they're creating by it and the people who just gobble this up and just run with it, it is just absolutely atrocious to think that the reason why that Houston is going through what it's going through is because of some insinuation that that's God's punishment to them for electing or allowing or having anything to do with the LGBT community or whatever faction it is that these people don't agree with.
Yeah. And also on that note, Anne, whether she's a lesbian or not has nothing to do with the fact should have nothing to do with anything. Some of the smartest, most talented, beautiful people I know are a part of the LGBTQ community. And when you embrace them and when you bring them into a position that they can actually support their communities,
you enrich your lives.
People get enriched, but communities fucking thrive. We are smart, strong, and intelligent people.
And
stop trying to put us fucking down.
And can we add to that we can decorate the shit out of a fucking lawn? I mean, have you seen a gay man's house?
We're talking about a gay man. We're talking about a lesbian, not a gay man.
And lesbians, too. Lesbians can be handy.
Oh, no. They're fucking amazing. Yeah.
Homos need lesbians to, you know, help out with all the stuff that they do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, some of them don't even know how to hold a hammer. I'm sorry. I'm not one of them.
I don't. Well, I do, but...
My people call me handy homo. But because, you know, I do a lot of shit myself. I'm like, oh, is that what it takes to do? Okay, fine. Give me a hammer. Give me some nails. I'm done.
Well, the important thing is to do like what Harvey Milk was saying. You know, you need to come out. Let your mothers, your fathers, your neighbors know that they know a homosexual.
Yep.
That you're no different than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
We are all one. We are one peoples.
Yep.
We are all Americans. And that is the only thing that can combat these radical bigots.
And to be honest with you, we're a long way from Ellen DeGeneres coming out on her TV show. And I mean, we're what, almost 15, 20 years now?
Oh, wait a minute.
We're far, far, far from that, you know, 1990s episode and where she came out. And so at this point, if you see someone, whether it's a family member or someone talking about gays in a negative way and you don't correct them, shame on you too.
Yeah.
Because at this point, you should be confident. If you are a supporter of the LGBT community and you see a family member saying something that's not right about the LGBT community, you should not do that.
Yeah.
You should stop them right then and there and say, you know what? We're already in 2017. You should not have these views. And if you do, this is not something that you should say out loud.
I mean,
it's unacceptable.
Have you stopped them? Have you ever actually spoke to or met a LGBTQ community member? Because most of the time it's a no. I mean, a lot of my conversation with Meg and Nick on the Dependent Independent podcast was about just that. Our conversation, let alone he's a huge ally, our conversation is the conversation that I would want to have with somebody. That was like when we talked through that episode, that's the type of conversation that we need to have with people so that it changes minds and makes people realize that I'm no different than you.
Of course.
Exactly. And I had that confrontational moment last week when a coworker of mine came in with a shirt that said LGBT.
Oh, fucker.
Yeah. And we didn't get to talk about it. So now I'm going to bring it. It's perfect that we're coming now.
Okay. She came in with a shirt.
LGBT. Liberty. Guns. Beer. Trump. And when myself and my other coworkers looked at it, at first we were like, oh, that's really nice. He's wearing an LGBT shirt.
LBGT?
Liberty, Guns, Beer, Trump. Yeah.
LGBT.
T, yeah. Right. Exactly.
Oh, so they took our acronyms.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it was
mocking the progress and what we all stand for. Now, when I first saw it, I kept my mouth shut, and a coworker of mine went up to them and like, oh, you do know Chris is gay? And he's like, I know when I walked in, I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have worn this shirt. And I kind of let it go, but then the next morning I woke up and I'm like, you know what? Actually, no, I'm kind of pissed off about this. Mm-hmm. And I knew we were working together, so I've been thinking about it all day, and I was texting another coworker as we were going in. I'm like, I got to confront him. And I went in and I said, hey, blank, can I talk to you? And I could have gone in guns blazing, you know, screaming
in front of
everyone. Well,
sometimes it takes a day. But my
point is, I could have gone in and started screaming at him, but instead I was like, that's not going to get the point across. That's just going to be making a fool of myself. I pulled him aside, and this became a private conversation. And I said, look, you can be pro-Trump. You're entitled to that. I have no problem with that. I think you're stupid for that, but I have no problem with it. But the second you wore that shirt, you were not pro-Trump. You were anti-LGBT. And I said to him, you know, you crossed me and it really offended me. And I'm a very peaceful guy. But you could have crossed someone who wanted to fucking beat your ass. You could have crossed a mother whose 14-year-old son or daughter just hanged themselves in their closet from being picked on day after day after day. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there red, shaking. He's like, I know. I'm sorry. I'm like, but you're not sorry. You wore it.
Yeah.
And I was told later that he did come back in later that day to pick up his paycheck in a different shirt, probably because he was afraid of me at that point.
Yeah.
I also found out later that he's in high school. I thought he was like 25.
But here's the thing. We talked about this earlier. I don't give a fuck that he was in high school. I don't give a fuck what his age was. We need to change the rhetoric now.
Exactly.
We need to change the rhetoric with every fucking age, no matter who.
Right.
And you weren't rude or mean.
I was.
But how he handled
it. Yeah, it was perfect.
Which is good. He's working in a progressive way to change that rhetoric. And you never know. You may have changed that kid's mind and how he thinks and how he's going to go forward.
I don't think he'll ever wear that shirt again.
But I will say this. So in many establishments, it is against company policy to wear clothing that has any type of lettering or any type of logos. I mean, I worked for a company that you couldn't even wear Mickey Mouse on your shirt.
Okay.
That's standard in a lot of companies. Your bosses, they should really think about saying, okay,
yeah, but
listen.
He was coming in as a customer. It was different.
And it's not like it's a fucking company.
But
like
he's, it's not
I
a company.
I get what you're saying. Right.
Nonetheless, it's an establishment and it serves the public. And as such, if they want to cater to all customers, your bosses should really make an effort in saying to their employees, whether they're on the clock or not, when you come into this establishment, you're still representing this establishment.
True.
You come in here, and you come in here in an attire that's appropriate for the type of establishment that we're trying to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I go in twirling with my Team Bernie shirts all the time.
I get where you're coming from with that.
I agree.
I get where you're coming from with that, but this T-shirt is beyond a fucking policy.
Right.
This was straight up, and the problem is the kid had no idea.
Right, and that
he
was,
really didn't. He probably thought it was funny. He probably thought his friends thought it was funny, or whatever the fuck it was.
Which is
he
usually
had no
what
idea
teams do.
How it would impact the community and what it actually meant.
Right,
and that's what you did. You informed him.
Correct,
and that's what we all need to do.
So
I even told him. I took it even a step further. I'm like, if I were you, I would trade that LGBT shirt in for Make America Great Again hat. Like, go ahead, wear fucking that.
Yeah.
Like, where's that?
At least that statement, although we know it's
attributed
to Trump.
He's probably not even educated enough to know what Trump stands for.
Exactly. That's the thing. When I found out the kid was, like, a kid, I was like, oh, well, I fucking really embarrassed him and made him, scared. But I was educating.
You were educating him at the same time. But, again, I think, proactively, I think that's a conversation. That may be a good suggestion to avoid instances like this again that you could have with your bosses and say, what do you think about not wearing stuff with logos on it? And just, this is what we wear for work. This is work. This is our workplace. Let's make it a very inclusive work.
See, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think
I'm not going to bring... Yeah,
well, because...
That's not necessary. No.
But the thing is, I don't think the point of the story is about his workplace. I think the point of the story is the fucking shirt in general should not be on anybody.
It shouldn't be a printed shirt. It actually came up as the most...
It went from a pro-Trump shirt, like he said, to an anti-LGBT
shirt.
And a discriminatory shirt. So it doesn't matter where he's going. He can go to fucking Stop and Shop for all I give a fuck.
Right.
If I saw that shirt... It doesn't matter. Stop and Shop's not going to stop somebody from walking in.
Even someone I know researched, or like, I told the story and they looked it up, and it literally was, the article was titled "Most Discriminating Shirt Ever Made."
It may be discriminating, but again, we have to. I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form.
And I know that.
But in the United States of America, we have freedom of speech, and he can wear that shirt wherever the hell he wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but true. But if he's an employee. And he's working there, and the employer says to avoid these type of instances and where we're offending each other when we have to work with each other and we have to live with each other and we have to learn how to be inclusive, this is not allowed in our establishment. That's the only thing I'm saying. Yes, it was wrong. Absolutely wrong. He should not wear the shirt. That is my opinion. That is the opinion that's shared by the majority of Americans, but unfortunately they do. And how we react to that, it will determine how we as a nation can move forward with the crazy shit that's going on in our world.
I'm just
right now.
Fucking floored, honestly. Like, that shirt,
sucks.
And it's fucking Connecticut, and this kid is wearing that shirt. Like, it's fine. Like you said, be pro Trump, but why are you being discriminatory? I mean, when I was up in Massachusetts this weekend on Friday night, I went out to a bar, and I was with four of my other gay friends, and I haven't seen them in forever. We weren't doing anything stupid, or we were just having cocktails at the bar. And one of
Except
my friends
Mick.
Walked to the bathroom, was standing in line at the bathroom. Somebody literally stood next to him and said, I'm not waiting in this line. I'm not sitting next to this fag.
Seriously? You didn't tell me this?
Like,
that's disgusting.
What? This is the fucking Northeast, people. Not that it shouldn't be every, you know,
right.
good everywhere, but like...
It's unfortunate, but
what
they exist
the
everywhere.
What the fuck?
But it's kind of... New England has kind of like a snorth. Like, it's the south of the north.
Yeah, I know, but like...
It really is.
You know, this... I feel like it's just been more and more prevalent since this asshole took power.
Because
and I can't. I want to sit up here and I want to preach to you every fucking week because of that bullshit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So listen, we need to start wrapping up the show. So can we get into our gender identity terms for today, please?
Yes, of course. And just so our listeners know, this will be your last gender identity definition.
Because we went through all of them.
We went through all of them. I mean, there are probably more, but...
There'll be more in 20 minutes.
Yep. This was my list. So... This week's gender identity definition, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Is two-spirit, a term that I've actually never heard. So a term that refers to historical and current First Nations people whose individual spirits were a blend of male and female. The term has been reclaimed by some Native American LGBT communities to honor their heritage and provide an alternative to Western labels of gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. So two-spirited. I think that's actually a really beautiful
that,
term.
I like that one.
No, yeah. It's good. Actually, I saw a documentary on PBS because I don't own cable, and the biggest best kept secret is we still have transmission of channels that are free over the air. Mm-hmm. So I buy this HD antenna and I put it in. So I get all the PBS channels for free. And so they're always giving these amazing specials. And to talk about our gender identity definition for this week, they had a whole special on this, on how there were a lot of tribes within the American Native people that actually, in some way, shape, or form, practice homosexuality as part of their spiritual everyday life. Yeah. And I believe the two-spirit term was actually used to describe what was going on in that. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, it's really cool that they would have a term that would describe both male and female in one being, because the Native Americans were generally, I mean, but progressive in a lot of ways. I would like to do some more research on that.
You would definitely have to be progressive.
Where are you going with
to
this?
You would definitely have to be progressive to accept the American people coming in and taking your lands and just running over
everything. I don't think any of them accepted nothing. That.
No.
Well, they had no choice, but, you know, it's like, seriously.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so your gay talk term this week, brought to you by
me,
unicornbooty.com.
Not really.
Is lockjaw.
Lockjaw.
I've had that.
Several
times. We know you've had that.
Even my ass gets lockjaw.
Lockjaw is sore throat caused by sucking too many large penises. So, of course, Chris
okay,
has had that.
When I retract my
also,
statement.
Also, no, salivating in anticipation of cock sucking. You've also had that.
Yes. But I've also had tetanus. So. Yeah.
There's a shot for that. What did you, step out a nail or something?
I got a spore of, like a spore in my surgical wound, and I got lockjaw and tetanus, and it was a not fun thing. And then I'd get two shots of booster directly into a wound.
Oh,
that was fun.
That sucked.
That was fun.
But lockjaw. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Lockjaw.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Quite fondly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies
we
and gentlemen.
We all know what happens.
So we have some announcements for you. As usual, if you love the show, you can head on over to the Apple Podcast app or your favorite podcast app on Android or any other services that offer our show and rate and review the show. This allows for our podcast to become more visible within the podcasting community to let others know about the show and why they should listen. Christopher?
Next week, we welcome Jason Davis, the author of My Pops Atop, to the show to talk about this awesome yet controversial book.
I can't wait.
I'm very excited for this. My Pops Atop is a witty picture book penned from the point of view of a young African-American boy growing up in a same-sex couple household. The book is 18 lines of rhyme with fun, innocent-looking illustrations about the boy and his gay father's pop, a hot Latino, and daddy.
That kills me.
I can't with you. And daddy, an older Caucasian man. This bawdy, naughty, non-PC tale is definitely not a bedtime story for youngsters. Instead, it's for adult readers who are not easily offended by blunt, sexually charged material.
Which pretty much means everyone that listens to our show.
Pretty much. Exactly.
Blunt.
Yep.
Nick?
Also, coming up on September 25th, we go back on the road for our next live event.
I can't wait.
The event will take place at Partners Cafe in New Haven, Connecticut.
We work there.
We do.
Kinda.
Head on over to our Facebook page and make sure you like it to get the latest information and this and all of our other upcoming events.
Yes, Queen. Christopher?
Shall we put a rubber on this?
Let's put a big rubber on it.
All righty. As always, guys, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
Yes, Queen.
You can find us on social media, Facebook at, no, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. I run it now. Check it out. Gay Talk 2.0 for Instagram. Twitter at Gay Talk 20. Email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. If you need to reach out to us for anything, you can head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, and go right at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call the show and leave us a message so that we can answer that question for you live on air by calling 334-GAY-TALK. The phone number again is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we stream our show live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.